technology now. Like, now the ensemble last year, they know that's kind of my pet peeve, you know, the whole technology thing. So these guys will stop right there. We won't have any altar calls right now. But, you know, I started thinking about it. You know, my kids probably need some technology. So Gideon got him an iPhone. What's funny? Got him an iPhone. And he just loved it. I mean, he thinks it's great. And then I got Marissa an iPad. I mean, she's six. She's about ready to have one of those. And so she got one of those. And then Titus, I didn't know what to get him. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to get him an iPod Touch. Rashad, you know what that is? I'm with you. Right there, man. iPod Touch. And of course, Titus, man, he's loving that. And I thought, man, I got to get something for my wife. I mean, she's kind of stepping up, and you know, the kids, we're kind of raising them to a new level. So I got her an Iron. And after that, I can't remember anything. Everything went black. She hit me upside the head with it. So not a good idea. So just that's my technology. I did not get my kids that, by the way. So just leave that out. Yes, Titus, hey, let's tweet. He'll have no clue what you're talking about. Change his name to Tweetus. As we come together, I honestly ask the Lord, what would be for our first chapel maybe the most important thing to begin this school year with? Now, I know high school you've been in, but I think this is your first chapel. So with the first chapel, I ask the Lord, what is it that you'd have me present as maybe the most important thing we need for this year? Now, I know all of us evangelists, everything's the most important thing. You know, we have that every sermon and it changes. But I really consider this not just for you, but for me to start out this year. What is it that we need? And I believe the Lord impressed upon me this idea of drawing close to God. So I'm going to talk about that, the Lord helping me this morning. What it means or what is involved with drawing close to God. Now ask yourself, I know this is the first one, so we're not sleeping quite yet, but how close is God to you at this very moment? Now some of you might already, you may say, I've already lost you. But you who are serious and you really want a relationship with God, how close is He to you right now? You hear sermons about feeling the presence of God and maybe feeling the breath of God or feeling the touch of God in your life. Do you feel that, or is it kind of just something that you hear these preachers have been in the ministry for 30, 40 years and you look and say, that's just out there. Right now I'm kind of comfortable with the way my life is. I don't know your situation. But I want to be close to God, and I assume that the majority of you here today say, I want to be close to God as well. Once upon a time there was a family of wayward church members who had once been active but had lost all interest in things of God and had fallen away. There was a father and three sons, Jim, John, and Sam. People had come to them and spoken to them of their lost condition and their waywardness and their backsliding, and they tried to get them back into church and reestablish their relationship with God, but none of their preaching seemed to do any good. But one day when the young men were out in the pasture, a large rattlesnake bit John and he became very ill. The doctor was called, and after examination, he pronounced John to be in very, very critical condition. He said to the father, all you can do now is pray. Well, the father called the preacher and told him of his son's condition. He asked the preacher to pray for his recovery, and this was the prayer of the preacher. I thought it was interesting. O wise and righteous Father, we thank Thee for Thou in Thy wisdom hast sent this rattlesnake to bite John in order to bring him back to his senses. He has not been in the church house in years, and it is doubtful that he has in all that time felt the need for prayer. Now we trust this will provide a valuable lesson for him and that it will lead to genuine repentance. And now, O Father, wilt Thou send another rattlesnake to bite Sam and another to bite Jim and another big one to bite the old man? We have been doing all we can for years to get them to draw close to You, but to no avail. It seems that all of our combined efforts could not do what this snake has done. We thus conclude that the only thing left that will do this family any good is rattlesnakes. So Lord, send us bigger and better rattlesnakes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, when I read that, I thought it was interesting, but I had to stop when I considered that, you know, and I found that it's very easy for us to run to God when we're in trouble. When you have 74 demerits and you don't want to get campused. Oh, God! Blind the eyes of the teachers! Blind Mr. Schrock and Mrs. Ramus's eyes, so the room job that I never do will just seem like it's been done. Send angels from heaven, Lord, and just put some dust all over, and it will look spotless. But we find ourselves there, don't we? Do you really want to draw close to God? This phrase often, I think, is almost has a neo sense. You know, you go to church, and everybody says, well, you have that warm, fuzzy feeling. When you sing the songs and you just lift your hands, and don't you just feel like the fingertips, and it just kind of flows in your body, and don't you feel the presence of Jesus? It's a little neo for me. I can't handle that too much. But that's the way a typical Christian thinks, is if you feel good, then God's with you. But I don't see that being scriptural. Because when I find people in the Scriptures, in the presence of God, something is affected. For instance, when Moses spent time with God on the mountain, when he came off, his whole countenance was changed, was it not? I like to picture him as he stands there and the people are doing one of these numbers, and Moses may not have even realized what was going on. He simply walked off Mount Sinai. He held the tent, the laws of God, and the people couldn't even look at it. Why? Because the glory of God shone on his face. Now listen, people will be able to tell when you're spending time in the presence of God. Your countenance will be different. You won't always be walking around like this all the time. No, you've been with God. Your countenance will be affected. You remember Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6? When he saw the vision of God, I saw a God high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And you know what? When he saw a glimpse and when he got in the presence of God, his whole purpose changed. I think there was a time where he looked at King Uzziah, who, by the way, was a good man, a good king, and maybe he set his attention and his focus on him, but he died, and finally he had to get his eyes off a king, and he had to look at Jesus, and he looked at God, and when he saw God, he says, oh, I'll go, here am I. His whole purpose changed. You see, it's easy for us to make decisions when we're around one another, but when we see God for who he is, and when he calls, it will change our purpose. Not just our countenance, not just our purpose, but you remember the demoniac who had for years probably terrorized the people in the area of Gadara, but Jesus pulls up on shore in the boat, and as soon as Jesus hit the shore, the Bible says the demoniac ran and he fell down and he worshiped Jesus. Now, if you look at his life story, you'll find a lot of things changed in his life. His schedule changed. His clothes changed. He actually got some. And I could go on and on. His whole life changed. Why? Because Jesus' presence immediately sparks worship. Adam and Eve were comfortable for a while. They had sinned, but as soon as they heard the voice of God coming in the cool of the day, as he always had, what did they do? Their security changed a little bit, didn't it? How about Jonah as he told the men, just so you know, I'm running away from the presence of God. And the mariners on the ship were afraid because he told them, I'm running from God. Nature itself, listen to these verses. Nature itself is affected by the presence of God. Psalm 97 verse 5 says, the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. Picture a candle that you light it and you watch as the wax begins to drip down. Yes? The hills melt when God's presence is there. 1 Chronicles 16:33, then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord. Now picture, there in an orchard, the presence of God comes through, and just picture the trees beginning to sing. It sounds almost silly, but that's what happens when God's presence. Now let's stop for a minute. We see all these things changing, but what's changed in your life? It's not a fuzzy and warm feeling. It's our lives being affected. Now, this is why I think we as Christians do not want to draw nigh to God. Because there's going to be change. And heaven forbid that we change. I mean, after all, I've been in church all my life. I mean, I'm lifted up in church. I'm an usher. I get to sing specials. I'm in charge of the junior church. That's all good. But what happens when God steps in? Has their life really been affected? Or are you dissatisfied with the pleasure of what man thinks? This year, my challenge is for freshmen through seniors, for 7th graders through 12th graders, for us as a staff, not to focus on academics this year, while that's important, not to focus on the associations that you'll gather throughout the course of the year, not to focus on the abilities, how to teach a Sunday school class better, or how to work in a junior church better. Those are all good. Not to focus on athleticism. Oh, we got a long ways to go there. Not to focus on being busy. Not to focus on afflictions you might face. Not to focus on the attacks that are coming from the devil. But listen, to focus our attention on God. If you leave here and you're focused on all ministries and you're focused on friends and you're focused on philosophy and you're focused on this or that and you miss out the fact that you need God, you've missed it all. So I pray and trust as we pray that you'll say, God, I want to draw close to you. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. God, in the next 20 minutes or so, I need your help. It's easy for us to go through life and just go through our normal everyday routine. And we miss out on having a true relationship with you. I really believe this is the message for this hour. We all understand this in our minds. We, even to new Christians, we tell them to read their Bible and pray every day and they'll grow and we talk about a relationship, but I wonder if we truly, each one individually, has a relationship with you. Would you speak to our hearts today? I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 4, I asked you to turn there. We're not going to read the all 10 verses that I'd planned for sake of time, but verses 1 through 3 of James 4 deals with this idea of a conflict within ourselves. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? This idea that there's going to be conflict inside of us. You're going to have things that you try to do and things that are just going to battle and you're going to struggle. And that's part of the Christian life. But verses 4 and 5, we see the conflict that's going to come from out without. We have this world that's our adversary. We have the devil as our adversary. And it's this constant battle. But I like verses 6 through 10. It gives us the idea in this conflict within, in this conflict without, we see that we can have victory. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And here's our text. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now stop for a minute. What does this verse indicate in a relationship? Who has to move first? I do. I believe throughout history, God has done everything he can to draw men unto himself. But if we're going to have a relationship, the promise is this. If Eric Ramos will draw nigh to me, the promise is very clear. He will draw nigh to us. Now let me ask you, how close are you to God? It's not God's fault. This is not just for college students, young men. If you can get this, you're going to get it ahead of me. And I preach hard, and I get on to you because I want you not to make the same dumb mistakes that I made. I want you to learn what it is to have a relationship with Jesus now. But it's in your ball court first. When you move, he moves. Now, that's encouraging to me, but on the other hand, it could be discouraging to me because when I'm struggling, when I'm failing, I know it's my fault. Now, be honest with yourself. You act different when you're around people, don't you? It's amazing how spiritual we get when our pastor's in the presence of us. He walks in the room and the conversation shifts from whatever to, hey, how's the bus route doing today? Oh, yeah, I've just been working a little ecclesiology. I'm just kind of talking about that with the kids on the bus route. You know, we're just into Greek and the Hebrew. Like, Pastor, like, wow. As soon as he walks out the door, I go right back to whatever conversation was. You know, my wife and I could talk freely, and then Titus shows up. We have to be really careful what we say around Titus, because it might be 38 seconds and the whole church will know. There's some things you just have to be a little cautious of when certain people around. And Marissa's the quiet one. She just kind of sit there and act like she's looking over here, but she's got the ear tuned in. Oh, yeah, she's good at it already. But we change our behavior, our conversation, when people show up, don't we? You know what? We would do the same thing when Jesus shows up in our life. The thoughts that we may have really dissipate when Jesus enters. The things you say, how you handle your money, how you work with other people, and on, if Jesus is right here next to you, you'll live differently. You think Peter would have denied the Lord, Rashad, if Jesus were standing right next to him? Of course not. You see, he was away from Jesus. He was in the company of unbelievers, so it was real easy to cuss. That's what the scripture says. But if he would have been right next to Jesus and drawn nigh to him, and somebody would have come and says, hey, do you know the person right next to you? I think Peter would have had a more difficult time saying, don't know him. All this is in the distance between one another. I'm saying this, my burden is that you will say from the bottom of your heart, this semester, even this month, you'll say, I'm going to draw close to you. That's what communion was about Sunday night. It wasn't for us to say, well, that was a pretty tasty cracker. Ooh, that juice was a little tart. Whoa, they need to do better on the juice. And the crackers, they can. No, that wasn't the point. The point is for us to look in our lives, examine ourselves, and get things out of the way so I can draw closer to Jesus. Our sin's going to affect us. Real quickly, a couple things. Drawing close to God involves communication. Now, most of you understand this because I was walking through Camelot lanes yesterday, and just about every lane, somebody had one of these in their hand. You were tuned in. The communication was rampant yesterday. Now, I'm not trying to be hyper-pious. Please don't misunderstand. But in those 2 hours, let me ask you, those 2 hours we were there, an hour and 50 minutes, did you offer a prayer? We find ourselves communicating like crazy. This morning, I probably emailed 10 or 15 people, man, because it's all about organization. It's all about communication. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I had to stop, and it's easy for me to do this because I'm preaching today. And I'm talking about this so I can say throughout my morning, I was able, as I was on the treadmill this morning, I was able to just concentrate and pray for this person and pray for that. That's easy when you're preaching about it. But when Pastor First preaches tomorrow, well, I'm not really honed in because I don't have to get up and tell people how spiritual I am. You follow? But we can communicate and we can talk all day long, but it's very easy for us to not communicate with God. Drawing close to God involves communication. The psalmist says it this way, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Paul says it this way as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, pray without, help me out, cease. We know these verses, but do you communicate with God all day long? Now, closeness naturally leads to communion, doesn't it? When I get in a car with the pastor, and we're driving from point A to point B, it's almost awkward when nobody talks. It's odd because there's this idea that we should be talking about what's going on. When I worked with the junior high teenagers, I would take them on hospital visits or something like that, go bus visiting, and I would sit there and I found that I was always the one asking the questions. Hey, how you doing today? Good. How's your devotion? Good. Yes, no. It was this one-word answer because they didn't want to say anything wrong because the youth pastor was in their presence. Now, I'm pretty impressed at some of you guys. I watch as you sit at the snack shop. And it could be Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. I mean, you could sit there for hours and just talk and talk. I remember when I first started dating my wife. Okay, we didn't have a whole lot in common. I don't like sports. She could care less about sports. I mean, she grew up in Mexico, siesta time all the time. I was into let's go. We started dating, go to the snack shop. I'm going to be honest, there were times I just ran out of things to say. And I'm sitting there, and it's really awkward, especially at the beginning. Hold that thought. I know something's going to come up. Just hold that thought till next time, because there were times I had to write things down. You know, after about the 14th time you ask, what is your favorite? She's knowing that there's something that connecting there. But man, I watch some of you guys, the conversation just flows. There's something natural when you're close to somebody that there's communication, there's communion. Now, when we say that word communion, most of the time, we think of communion with God as what we did Sunday night. And that's it. But drawing close to God means that throughout your day, there's going to be fellowship. You understand? It's communication is involved. And it's interesting to note, I'm working on a lesson, a series on Moses and Aaron, and you find Aaron was always the one in trouble. I'll tell you why. Aaron was always in the fellowship of people. Moses was always in the fellowship with God. Who was the one that made the golden calf? You know why? Because he was always hanging out with the people. He was what I call the nice guy. He was the second man. He was the youth pastor. He was the assistant pastor. He was the guy in the mix. And I think I warned you about that. Everybody loves the second man. You know why? Because they're working with the kids. They're involved in the teenagers. They're making decisions. They're in the mix where the man of God is maybe away, tucked away, and the people are like, what happened to that man that brought us out? You see, there's criticism that comes easy when you get away with God, but when you come down off the mountain and you spent time with Jesus, I tell you what, people are going to step away and they're going to go, and they didn't go to Aaron and say, please pray for us on our behalf. No, they went to Moses and says, we need help. You know why? Because they knew he was always in the presence of God. We need to find ourselves not running around people all the time and get with him. We need to draw close to God. Naturally, when you get close to God, you're going to have communion. I heard about a little boy. He greeted his father when his father returned home from work. He said, Daddy, how much do you make an hour? Of course, that kind of irritated the dad. Look, son, not even your mother knows that. Don't bother me. I'm tired, he said. But Daddy, just tell me, please, how much do you make an hour? The boy said. The father said, $20 an hour, just be quiet. Well, the boy had something else to say. Well, Dad, thanks for telling me, but could you loan me $10? The boy asked, and the dad was a bit disturbed and annoyed, of course, and he said, so that was the reason you asked how much I earned, right? Go to sleep and don't bother me anymore. When the boy went off to sleep, the dad kind of felt bad, and he thought, well, I can give him $10, and maybe his son really wanted to buy something. So he went to his son's room, and he said, son, are you sleeping? The boy said, no, why? Well, here's the $10 you asked for earlier. I wanted to give it to you. And the boy was all excited. Thanks, Dad. And he put his hand under his pillow and removed some money that he had underneath his pillow. Now I have enough. Now I have $20. And the father was a little bit confused, trying to figure out what was going on. He says, Daddy, would you sell me an hour of your time? You know, God wants to, I don't understand why God wants to talk to us. I mean, the psalmist makes it real clear. He says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, and he talks about the greatness of creation. But in the next breath, he says this, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou... Why in the world does God want a fellowship with lowly me? But he does. And here's God. Let me just stop for a minute. You crack open your Bible in the morning, you're running to class, and you're there, and you're just kind of, I got to get through this because I want to have a relationship with him. And you run out the door, and God's saying, maybe I'll catch up with you tomorrow. He wants to talk to us. Don't you want to talk to him? But a relationship begins in this sense that it's up to me to draw nigh to him, and the promises he will draw nigh to us. I can't help but think, to me, the most clear illustration of this is the prodigal son. Here's a son that sits in the pig pen. You don't see the father going to chase him down, do you? You don't see it. And finally, he gets up. The Bible says he comes to himself and he realizes he's wrong. He says, what am I doing here? And he gets up and he starts going back home. And as he draws nigh to his father, what happens? His father sees him from a distance and he gets up. And what does he do? He runs to him and he restores him. To me, it's basically repentance. We're drawing away from something to something else. Draw nigh to God. Drawing close to God involves communion. Number two, drawing close to God involves contradiction. What I mean by that is not just talking about ourselves all the time, but talking about Him. Let me encourage you this year. When God blesses you, talk to somebody about it. The idea is, I just want to praise the Lord. Let's just stop and praise the Lord and make that a constant thing. And the more you see, we don't like to praise other people. Now, I'm really good at picking on people. Where's Amy? Ready? What did I tell you yesterday? I said, Amy, sometimes I take things way too far. Just tell me I've gone too far. Because I like to pick on people. It's fun. Karis, I don't know, where's Sarah Olson? Or Deborah? One of my kids they were walking out of the house, or out of the dorm, and one of the kids was like, you got a big zit. Or you got bad breath. I don't, one of my kids said that to somebody. And I'm thinking, it was kind of funny. But we had a long talk about it. And I said, you know, you need to be careful what you say to people, because you don't like it when people cut you down, do you? But it's easy to cut people down. We like to be praised, though, don't we? Oh, you did a great job. I mean, I tell you what, you were bowling yesterday, and in 10 frames, you knocked 3 pins down. Woo! Good work. I mean, I tell you what. But there's something about when we get put down, isn't there? Because we like to be lifted up. But you know, if you're going to draw close to God, you got to lift Jesus up. You've got to praise Him. Practice it. Drawing close to God involves contradiction. The psalmist says it this way, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Praise Him, 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 7 times. Get used to that. That'll draw you closer to God. Drawing close to God involves consecration. And in our text it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Get tired of the mess. Sometimes we just put up with that sin that's laying around there. Sometimes just get fed up with it. Sometimes I come home, I'm like, my wife's had a busy day, my kids are doing this, and there's this laying there, and I kind of have this annoyance, but I live with it. Don't do that when it comes to sin. You see it there, get it out. You see it there, get it out. There just needs to be a time of regular purging, regular praising. That's what we need to do if you're going to draw close to God. Drawing close to God involves crucifixion. Verses 4 and 5, we see that, this idea of persecution for our flesh. Paul writes it to the Corinthians. He says, I protest by rejoicing. And he says, I die daily. He writes to the Romans, mortify the deeds of your body. He writes to the church at Colossae, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He writes to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. There's this idea of putting our flesh to death. Crucifixion, it's painful. It's not fun. That's why we get mad at everybody else when they do it to us. But we'd save ourselves a lot of problems if we just did it to ourselves every morning. He said, these hands, God, I'm going to put them on the cross. This mind, I'm going to put it on the cross. Crucify yourselves. Drawing close to God involves crucifixion. Drawing close to God involves conflict with Satan. We see it in verse 7. Submit, then resist. Submit, then resist. And I have to wrap it up. But as I close, again, I mentioned just a relationship with God starts with you. And starts with me. Old Nat had a wood pile before him. And he sawed hard to make it smaller. His saw was dull. It needed sharpening and resetting. It was dreadful work to make it go at all, said a neighbor. Neighbor came to him and says, Nat, why don't you get that saw sharpened? You would do more work and do it easier. And Nat got mad. Don't bother me. I've got enough to do without stopping to sharpen the saw. And that's what we do. We're busy. We've got this to do and this to do. The man who would do God's work without taking time for prayer, reading, and study, will find his labor hard, discouraging, and fruitless. You ever feel like you're just banging your head against the wall? You just can't seem to get over the hump? Well, maybe you haven't drawn close to Him. You beg for his help when you're in trouble. Listen, don't make God have to send rattlesnakes. Just like when the people complained, he sent those snakes, those fiery serpents into the camp. And what did it do? It caused them to look to Jesus. That was the picture of the brazen serpent, was it not? Don't make God have to send rattlesnakes to get you to draw close to him. Look at verse number 8 again as we close. Let's just read that promise together. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. One more time. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh. Do you want a relationship with Jesus? It starts with who? This year, that's my challenge, is to begin to have a close walk with Jesus. Lord, help us today. Use this time. Speak to our hearts. We do always have a time of invitation. I pray that you would just maybe allow some to just commit, whether it be in their pew, whether it be here at an altar, that you would just deal with our hearts. Help us to start this off. We're going to get course requirements. We're going to get ministries. We're going to feel overloaded. Let us never run from our time with you to make time for our daily routine, because we will get frustrated. We will get discouraged. Let it begin with communication, contradiction, crucifixion, all these things. But let us take the first step today as we draw close to you. Speak to our hearts. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We do have a time of invitation.